Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing today?
Good morning.
I'm doing good. It's good to see everybody. It's good to be back. It's been a month, and I'm just really glad to be back. So let's just start off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful fall day. Thank you for this church. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the fellowship that we have. Thank you for all the saints here. Thank you for our family and friends, our country. Thank you for the peace that we have. We want to pray for all those that are sick and have ailments here and abroad. We want to pray for those at war. We want to pray for everybody going through tribulation. We know that if they only get into your word, they can find peace and comfort. And Thanksgiving holiday is coming up, so we just want to keep that thankfulness in mind, not just in Thanksgiving, but every day, and just to be thankful for the things we have, the things that we don't have, and just be thankful for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that He's given us this peace and comfort to take to be our own and to share with others. So let's get into your word. Let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. And be our teacher, and just let the Bible flow through and in us and out into the world, and give you honor and glory and all thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, glad to see everybody today, and I haven't been here for a month, but I'm sure Jim has been doing really good, and haven't been able to see his videos online, but I want to, and so we're here. Thank God that we're here, safe and sound, and we can get into God's Word. And I want to say that for anybody listening, Faith Bible Church, we study God's Word rightly divided. We study in its context. And we compare Scripture with Scripture because we want the Bible to explain itself instead of our finite thinking and our finite understanding, because God's Word is infinite, it's supernatural, and we just want regular individuals just like us and just like you to get into God's Word, because that's what the Lord wants of us. He wants us to get into His Word and let His Word resonate in our hearts and minds. To shine bright, you know, to others that need that comfort. So, last time we were in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 3. So I think we stopped at verse 4. We're going to kind of read through the first few verses of chapter 3. Get to 4. We'll go over verse 4, and then we'll move along, and we'll stop at verse 8. So we'll read all the verses and just kind of go through all of them. So 1 Thessalonians and chapter 3. All right. Okay, so, and whenever anybody listening online, whenever you get into God's Word, you want to see who's writing, who are they writing to, and so we know that Paul's writing. He's writing to the Thessalonians, and this is a book that's our commandments. This is written for us today, and this is something that we can study and apply for ourselves today. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And we know Paul was stayed at Athens. Well, he wrote this book in Corinth, but we know that here he stayed in Athens. And you, as you can remember, that in Athens they were a lot of disputings. You know, we know that that was the center of paganism, or however, you know, that was the central part where there was a lot going on there, where they were praying to other gods, and they had many gods, and that's where they called Paul, I forgot what they called him, but they were mocking him there. So, and verse 2, and sent to Methius, our brother, the minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So he sent Timothy. I think it was too dangerous for him to be coming, so he kind of stayed where he was at. But he sent Timothy, and we know that that we are to be established in the mystery. And he was trying to keep them established in the mystery and what they have been taught, and through Paul's epistles. And verse 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed there unto. So we see there that the afflictions that we go to, God has appointed them to us. So anybody saying, why am I going through these things? Why am I going through these tribulations? Well, these are things that God promises us that we're going to go through some tough times. And he's appointed us to these things. And they are going to make us stronger and make us lean toward him more. So he's just kind of reminding them on that. Verse 4, for verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. There we go. Tribulation is that severe trouble that, you know, and we know that there's the tribulation that 1st and 2nd Thessalonians was written to ensure that the Thessalonians weren't going to go through the tribulation, that they were waiting on that hope, that, you know, the rapture, same thing that we're waiting on as well. But this tribulation is just the afflictions that we're going to go through, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Okay? And just to kind of touch on that, we're going to go through just a few verses. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this is just a review of last, because I think we stopped at verse 4, and then we're going to get into verse 5 right now. So 2 Timothy chapter 2. And for anybody who are listening right now or online, it's good to just go through the scriptures, let's see what God has to say for certain things, and not just a pastor or anybody teaching, you know, what saith the scripture, what God has put his word above all his name. And we're going to see them verses here today later. But 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. See, that's God's will to have Paul as an apostle, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. And verse 3. I thank God whom I serve. Oh, no. I'm in. Oh, no. Yeah. 2 Timothy. Yeah. I thank God. Wait a minute. I'm in chapter 1. Okay. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Sorry about that. And verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we're to endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we know soldiers endure many things. They're enduring it now during these wars. Israel and Hamas and Russia and Ukraine, whether whose side is who, we want all sides to come to know the Lord. But they endure hardness, and we're soldiers in Christ, and we're going to endure hardness as well. Or else, God wouldn't have said that in his word. Jump to chapter 3, same book. Chapter 3 and verse 12. Let's do verse 10. But thou hast known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. That's a good assurance there, huh? Yea, that and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. See, that's something that anybody saying, oh, well, if I just do this, I won't suffer this. Or this is, if you're truly living godly, you're going to feel the heat, you know, this world has to offer. And we just got to be ready as soldiers, be equipped. You know, Ephesians 6, to have that armor. Be ready for all the wiles of the devil, all the darts that he's got thrown toward us. Because he hates the message of Paul the most. He does. He doesn't. We know that Paul's message was a mystery, but Satan himself wants to keep it a secret. He don't want nobody to know about this truth, this lovely truth that we have. And persecution makes you stronger. It's what it's meant for you. Yeah, it's not good in certain times, but okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So we go through these things. Chapter 4 and 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse, we can do verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So we have the outward man, we get old, we get sick, but the inward man gets renewed every day by day. That inward man in Christ, Bill was just telling me before we started, do we really know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we know Him? Yeah, certain denominations go through things to be closer to God, but are we really close to the Lord? Do we know Him? How do we know Him? Well, it's through God's Word. This is how you get to know your God and your Creator. You get into this Word. So,
excuse me. Yes. What verse was that about the inward man perishing?
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16.
16.
Yeah. Okay. And then verse 17. For our light afflictions, so Paul is calling these light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Everything you see here is temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Those are the things we hope for. Those are the things we got coming for us. And Paul calls those afflictions, we have light, even though they may not feel like it. Trust me, they don't feel like it at all. But compared to what we have in our heavenly home, they're light. It's far more exceeding. So I just kind of wanted, that was a quick recap of the verse 4. So let's go back to 1 Thessalonians, and we'll go to verse 5. Chapter 3. All right. Oh, man. I am definitely glad to be back, for sure. I have missed church, and it's so good to be, when I never was coming to church, I thought just getting head knowledge, all them things, learning on my own. And when I listened to Pastor Paul's bell box message, kind of struck me. I came, and just to be here, just to be in the presence of everybody, just feels, it just feels better. It's building me up. I just feel better just coming here, knowing that I'm with you guys, and I hope you guys feel the same about each other. And I know you guys do. Anybody listening, you'll get that. You will get that when you fellowship with other Christians, and you just can come and you can just be with each other. So, verse 5. For this cause, when I, that's Paul, could no longer forbear. So he's kind of like, he can't just, I can't forbear this. Like, I want to know what's going on with the Thessalonians. I want to see what's going on with them. So he just can't wait. I sent to know your faith. See, he wants to know their faith, the condition of their faith. And he wanted to see if they stayed with the gospel or if they went back to paganism. Do we have the same kind of condition? Do we worry about each other's condition of faith? I know I'm not the best at it, but it's just a question we can ask each other. Do we have that same enthusiasm to be like, okay, is this person doing okay? Should I call them? Should I go visit them? And a lot of people here at church, they do that. They do fine colors. And anybody listening, that's the kind of love that God wants us to have for each other. So, he wanted to know the condition of the faith. He wanted to know how they were. And we know that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, that for from you sounded the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, that's Greece, so that both them sections are two sections of Greece, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. So you remember that they were getting known for being faithful to the Lord. And I want to, let's just jump to Acts 15 real quick, because I want to remember, we're, for everyone listening, we jump through scriptures to let the Bible speak for itself. Acts 15 and verse 36. And this is, we're going to just go through this real quick, but this is only just to show that Paul liked checking on his churches. He enjoyed doing this. He liked checking on other churches. He liked checking how they were doing, and he liked seeing how they were doing. So, Acts chapter 15 and verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. So, Paul, a lot of people want to put down Paul, but that's a beautiful thing there. Paul was, he could have done anything, he was a smart man. He was not a dummy. He could do whatever he wanted, but he knew that serving the Lord and serving others was infinitely more important. So back to 1 Thessalonians and finish off that verse. All right. In verse 5. So I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. So the tempter. Go to Matthew chapter 4. This is a very good comparing scripture with scripture verse here. So the tempter. So we want to know who the tempter is. Well, just by that kind of context, we know that the tempter is Satan. But how do we know that the tempter is Satan? Well, here we go. Let's find out. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made the bread. So you only see tempter twice in the Bible, and that's the tempters in this verse and in 1 Thessalonians. So that's just a kind of a small little thing to see that, that's comparing scripture with scripture. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Oh man, my cousin Nick, he comes to church sometimes, but he has started a business, an insulation business. I was working with him, and he did the insulation for the church. Man, I could feel it right now. I am like, I can feel it. I'm nice and warm right now, cozy. So appreciate him for that. James chapter 1. And verse 12. Okay. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived it, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So that's a kind of walkthrough from what sin, how these sin works. So you get tempted, your lusts get overcome, sin comes, and then sin, and then you death. Because Adam and Eve sinned one time, and that was enough for us to be eternally damned, you know, and spiritually separate from the Lord Himself, from God Himself. So sin is a big deal, whether small or great. So anybody thinking that white lies or white sins, white whatever, light sins, they're all, sin is sin. So that's kind of a breakdown on how it is conceived, you know, how it's done. But moving forward, so do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So, we went to that verse to show how God doesn't tempt. God can't be tempted with evil, or He won't. He will overcome it as the Lord Jesus Christ did in Matthew chapter 4. And so that was a good verse. I like that one. So, let's jump to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And this is a good verse as well. We're going to show that Satan is interested with your condition of your faith. He is. He's interested with what you're doing and how your faith is. How do I know? We're going to God's Word and we're going to find out. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So there you see that some are departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So there's many seducing spirits and doctrines of devils out there. It's everywhere you look. It's anything that doesn't align with the Word of God today, rightly divided. Even Satan likes to use half-truths, and he likes to mix law and grace. He likes to mix prophecy and mystery. He likes to mix these things to confuse us, to not understand what the Word of God is truly saying. And he's interested in deceiving and tempting you. He's interested in these things. This is what he does. He's the father of lies, and he is an enemy of the Lord. He's our enemy, and this is just some proof that he is interested in what is going on, and he's working double time to, because he knows his time is short. He knows that. He knows he's got, he knows what he's got coming to him. He knows that he's defeated. He knows he's going to be locked up 1,000 years. He knows all these things. He knows it. We know it. He knows it. And he's just working double time to confuse us. You see it everywhere you look. You see it at schools. You see it on TV. You see it everywhere. You can see that this world system is run by him. He uses a lot of different confusing tactics that the elites use, and it's just a confusion. He's tricking everybody he's got, and that's why it's so important to stay in the sound doctrine, to stay rightly divided, so you can be understand when you see the lies, to stay studying, to stay sharp. So back to 1 Thessalonians. Alright. Oh, yeah, I still got more to go in here. Alright, so verse 5. We're still in verse 5. So we've seen, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. So we know that Paul's labor was in vain, you know, that all those throughout Asia kind of went away from him at a certain point. We can go into it. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, because we don't want our labor to be in vain, right? We don't want someone else's labor that they've helped us be in vain. And we'll show some examples on how that was being seen. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 8. So the Galatians, we know that they were getting into legalism. That's that background. And here, Paul is telling them. Okay, verse 8. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them by which you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, or unto ye desire again to be in bondage? That's that bondage of the law. That they desire to be back in that bondage. Ye observe days and months and times and years. And I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. So he was afraid that his labor was going to be in vain. You know, that he taught them grace. He taught them that they were under liberty. And that you had liberty and grace. And that you're not of the yoke of bondage of the law. You don't have to observe these things. We've seen that in Colossians. That you don't have to. And so that's a one, you know, to not be under the law. And then let's go to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians is another great book that it's about suffering, rejoicing in suffering. We know that Philippians, it's a big thing. And so they rejoice in their suffering. But I kind of wanted to read a few verses here, because this chapter 2, Philippians, is actually the first book that I taught on. So every time I go to Philippians, I kind of remember that. So, but, huh? Oh, the fan? Yeah, let me do that real quick. I'm hot. And, you know, I always, I know. And I still, okay, we could do that. I don't want the pages to be flying. Yeah. And I always get nervous when I come up. So, I don't know if that's ever going to go away, but...
Yeah, we won't bite.
Yeah. I always get nervous because I know you guys are good, but we know that you guys are just... I know that you guys are students of the Word, and God's Word is so important to try and get it right, you know, and not screw up what God is really trying to say. So that's just how I feel about it. But Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to kind of read a few verses on here. Let's go to verse 3. Verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better. Let each esteem other better than themselves. So that means to each other, you respect and think highly of each other. Don't think you're higher than another person. Let not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, to kind of worry about, you know, how's other people doing, you know, if they're doing okay. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So there's a verse there that proves Christ is God, shows that Christ is God, he's equal with God. So we have the four, actually in these verses, we have the oh, that fan is doing great. Yeah, that fan is good. So you see in these verses here that you see the fourfold of God, the fourfold of the Lord Jesus Christ that you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That Christ is God, he's King, he's a servant, and he's a man. So you see those in here. So, and that you see that he's God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And so you see that he's a man there. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So you have God there has a servant. You see Christ as God, servant, man, and here he's depicted as a king. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted himself and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful statement there. So we know that he is above all, and we know that he is the King of Kings. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye, verse 12. So this is, these are verses we're going to get into. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So he's not talking about working for your salvation there. He's talking about that as when you become saved, you're working for the Lord now. So you get saved first and you're working toward the Lord. And he's talking about that the inward work of salvation and outworking of the inward, you know, for yourself. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. See, God wants us, it's his will and his good pleasure. He's working in us. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. So not to be arguing or being, you know, gossipy or whatever. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So that's basically being a good example, you know, being to others, you know, letting God work in us, letting the Lord work in us, letting that we shine as lights in the world, and that we know that you can get a bad reputation like this. A good reputation takes a long time to build up, but that's what he's saying. Have a good reputation for the Lord. Unless, you know, people look at you and they're like, oh, he just did that last week, doing this last week. Why am I going to listen to him? He was out doing what he wasn't supposed to. He's just opposite what he was teaching, you know. So he wants us to look out for that, unless he labored in vain. So I just wanted to get into that. And let's just go back to 1 Thessalonians. Yeah, those are such good verses. Every time I read them, it just feels good to read them. Alright, so now we're done with verse 5. So we know that Satan is the tempter. We've seen that in Matthew. Paul, who couldn't forbear any longer, he wanted to know about their faith, the condition of their faith. And in verse 6, but now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. So, our tribulations that we go through, sometimes it results in a loss of faith and charity. Faith and love. I mean, sometimes when you go through such hardships, you're like, you kind of lose faith, you kind of forget about God sometimes. It's supposed to bring you toward God, but sometimes we get into our own mind, don't let the Lord work in us. And those things happen, you know. We get bitter sometimes, we get angry, and lash out on each other. And we don't want to be... So, we have the faith and charity. Remember, Paul in churches, he's always looking for love, hope, and faith. Well, we see hope isn't mentioned there. Didn't mention hope. Could have been that they were lacking hope, even though these books were written for that rapture, that hope that they were waiting for. But it didn't. They didn't mention here. But remember, that's why he wrote these letters, for that hope. And that good remembrance. That good remembrance there. And we want to remember, what do we want to remember? We want to remember Paul's doctrine. That good remembrance of what Paul is teaching, that's different from what the four Gospels, that's different from Christ's earthly ministry, different from Israel's the prophecy, is different from all those. It's and always not, you know. And we see there, and desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. During the lockdowns, the lockdowns are not really healthy at all, because you don't get to see people. You know, even the masks, where people have their ideas about masks, but you don't get to see the person. You don't get to see their face. You're not with each other. That's why Thanksgiving is so good, that you come with each other and come together, and that people come together. And at least to see, at one point I was really bad. I never was going to see my family, come here. Wasn't doing that. Sometimes I slack, we all do, but Paul understood that seeing each other physically, you know, we can do Skype, we can do online stuff, yeah, those are okay, but it's so much better to be physically face to face with each other and be there. It's like an intimate love relationship. And Paul understood that he can write these letters, but he wanted to be face-to-face. That's why he would go and visit. We saw in Acts 15. He wanted to go see how they were face-to-face. Wanted to see them physically, see how they were doing. And I wanted to touch on that, because it's something that I was lacking on for a while. And I understand, I see now that it's so much more important scientifically, you know, just for your mind, you know, it's just so much better. Okay, so we're in there. So verse 7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. So he got comforted by their faith. All the things he's going through, he's like, wow, these guys are keeping it up. That's good. And it made him feel good. So, he wrote this book, he was in Corinth, and he was suffering persecution there. If you wanted to see, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, and Acts 18. You go there, you'll see that he was suffering. He had his issues going on there. But Paul never forgot them, and the faith of the Thessalonians comforted him during his hard time. And that's all. Like we said, and we know that Paul is a pattern for us, so we see what Paul's doing, and that's and we're going to get into that. I seen a verse that Pastor Ricky mentioned, and that's going to be the last verse I go into. I want to share that with you guys, because it's good. Ecclesiastes 12:1. We're going to go to this. This is going to be the second to last verse we go to. Ecclesiastes and verse 12. I mean chapter 12, verse 1. I don't know if I said that right.
Yeah.
Okay. Chapter 12, verse 1. Okay. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. So anybody, the young people, God wants us to, it's not, this isn't just for older people to go to church and to study. This is for young people, the up and coming generation. Now, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the evil days of getting old come not, nor the years drawn nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So we see there that we want to remember our Creator from our youth. From that's why it's good that we teach the youth this. And jump down to verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We've seen this verse before, but this is a powerful verse. God wants us to keep His commandments because this is the whole duty of a man. A man should keep God's word, His commandments, and present them in his household and amongst others. And this is a commandment of the Lord. For God, verse 14, shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God is watching. Omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He's everywhere. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He knows what you're doing. He knows. He's in all places. So, all right. 1 Thessalonians. We're gonna go to chapter back. We're almost done here, and we're gonna go to. We're gonna finish read the last verse.
Where?
1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and verse 8. I just snuck that verse in there. So, verse 8. Okay, so in verse 7. Therefore, brethren, we comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. So, I think that's a figure of speech. It was like, he will die if you don't stand fast in the Lord. But now he's like, we feel better now. We live. We got a life now that that you're standing fast for the Lord. You know, and it's always good. I have some friends and family that I hear that they're studying God's word on their own, and it makes me feel good. You know, that they're doing that. You know, and so let's go to Matthew chapter 23. This is our last verse. Now, this is the verse that I was telling you about that I heard from Pastor Ricky. And this is the verse that I'm going to use this verse. I'm going to use this to try and whenever somebody says, oh, you're making too much of Paul. Paul this and Paul that. Paul this. Who is Paul? Why are you saying so much of Paul? Paul is not Jesus. We don't worship Paul. This is all these things they want to. They want to adjust the makeup or say to kind of dilute what you're saying, you know. And it's, okay, well, I'm not making too much of Paul. I don't worship Paul. Paul is just a regular man. I worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we go. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 1. So here we see that Christ and his earthly ministry is pointing towards someone else. Okay, Christ himself is pointing to say, hey, look at these other people. So if Christ himself is pointing toward others, he can point toward Paul. So here we go. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So he's saying, okay, well, Moses and the Pharisees, scribes, they observe. You know, that was part of their law. They're observing, you know, feasts and things. So he's saying they're doing that, but just don't do the things that they're their works are not that are not good, but they're what they're doing. So that's just a verse that the Lord Himself is saying, hey, them people there, they're doing what they're supposed to on this, but how hard is it if Paul has got the spotlight right now? That Paul's got our marching orders. It's not, and there's too much proof. And I don't know what it is, but I'm just convinced, and this will be it, that people want to say, but they never really took the time to study it. I think that's really what it is. They never took the time to actually unbiasedly check the things. That's just my assumption. I know that they're blinded somehow, but no. I think if you unbiasedly checked and seen all the different differences that Paul's epistles between what the promises to Israel, it's massive. It's a massive division there that it cannot be the same. It cannot. And it's just, to me, it's just, I might not be saying that verse that great, the proper way, if you guys want to tell me a little better, emphasize on it, let me hear it. But that's it for today. And does anybody have any questions or thoughts? Go ahead.
Yeah, we, by Christ, we get much more than Israel. We magnify Paul's office, his God-given office.
All right. Right. His office is magnified. That's,
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Not about the lesson. It's about when a person is born, I had a conversation with a couple of guys. One guy said, he talked of maybe somebody, an ancestor years ago, they became, maybe that's why they became gay. In other words, he was saying something to born gay. So is they born gay or is it a choice? That's the question.
I mean, we're born with a sin nature. Their lust is to do that. They're just succumbing to their lusts, even though it's wrong. It's a choice. That's what I can't answer it completely, but yeah, that's what I see. It's a choice, and that. Mm-hmm.
Back to the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the verses we shared today, actually, people twist them and say you can lose your salvation. But like under Paul, when we went back to James especially, but your description of what happened with Adam and Eve was very applicable to the verse. But I think, and also secondarily, James was written to the Jewish people, where if they didn't follow the commandments, there was a consequence of not really having their salvation unless they endured to the end. And also a couple of the verses we shared in Paul, you could kind of twist them to think that somebody could lose their salvation, like the Galatians when they were following away from Paul's teaching, but they weren't losing their salvation. They were just becoming in bondage to the law again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's good. I should have emphasized that more, but yeah, that they're not losing their salvation. They're just going backwards to the law, and that's what the book was about. Is about that they were getting back into legalism, and that's where Paul was saying, "Do I labor in vain?" He doesn't want to labor in vain because I taught you this, and now you're doing this again. So that's good. Yep. Oh, I don't know. I just seen it. Yeah, I don't know if that's. It just seemed that way. It looks like he's got servant, man, king, and you know. So I don't know if somebody's seen it first. Probably, but I don't. You know.
Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Truth in the Bible is some truth are horizontal. There's grace in every dispensation, and there's still
hearts that applies to us in our needs. Yeah, we can still use Psalms if we're down and depressed, and just because it's in the Old Testament and it's written to the Jews, it doesn't mean that it doesn't apply
right,
to us.
Right.
Well, definitely, because all scriptures profitable for us. Yep.
I think, you know, having a clear understanding of what God is doing, being a part of that, you know, our hope, comfort, hope, and hope of eternal life was God that cannot lie promise. Our hope is what sustains us. We know this is not the finality. We're going to go through tribulation, but our hope is what sustains us. Our hope of glory.
Amen. Yep. Al?
Referencing worshiping Paul, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians that he writes that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So the Lord designated Paul to write all these letters. It was from Jesus Christ, the revelations that he gave to Paul. Yet we do not worship Paul that message, that these are commandments and the writings of truth. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
That's right. Yep. And Paul himself said that these are from the Lord himself. So these are not him. This Christ gave him the commandments.
Amen.
So, yep.
Paul does say you follow me as I follow
Christ. Right. Yep. Right. Well, yeah, that's a good verse.
Yeah, the epistle began with remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. And in this chapter, obviously, in verse 6, he just mentions faith and charity.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see they were having a little bit of problem with the second coming and so forth, and he's kind of building up with that team as he goes through and now the rest of the way.
Right. And that's what I was saying. I'm like, okay, maybe they're... That's the book is written for that hope, and they were probably, like you just said, they were losing it. You know, they were.
Remember that he's writing the book for encouragement, but he does have some correction to do. So he's got to be on that fence. He doesn't want to, you know, you're wrong. You know, he doesn't want to detract from their enthusiasm and so forth. But he still has to correct them. So to find those corrections that he's making, you have to kind of look under the surface a little bit and to see those.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Anybody else? All right. We'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you for another opportunity, another chance, another time that I can be up here and give you the glory, and all of it is of you, nothing of me. And we went through the scriptures, and hopefully the scriptures resonated through our hearts and minds. Like we said, we're thankful for all we have. We have Thanksgiving coming up, and it's not just about Thanksgiving, but it's about a whole bunch of things for you, patriotism, all that we have. And thank you for this book, this supernatural, powerful book that you put above all your name, and that we give you the glory and honor. And let us pray for Pastor Kurt's teachings that we learn and we enjoy. And thank you for the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.